All right, let's get started. I think that we have almost everybody here. Okay. So we were talking last week about, let's see. One second. We were talking last week about hukuk ibad, right? So there are two. What does hukuk mean? Hukuk means rights. Does anyone know what rights mean? Did you remember? Does anyone remember what it means? Yes, it is. Saad.
Rights basically means what anyone can expect or what they deserve.
Yes, that's right. And so tell me, the other kids, of all the other kids, and not Saad, because Saad understands this. Do you know what human rights means? Can you name one human right? Misha, do you know what human right is? No? Anyone knows what human rights is? Mina, I have saw your hand raised. What is a
Like
human right?
they deserve something like they should get
Okay, give me one example of a human right.
being loved.
Okay. Yes. What is one of the basic human rights? Maheen, can you tell me? Can you bitte lower your camera a little bit? I'm only seeing your forehead. In the meantime, Inaya, do you know what a human right is? How about Anaya? Where is she here? No. Alia, do you know what a human right is?
A human right is when you do something good.
No, but good try. What is the most important things that humans need to live? Those are called human rights. So tell me, what are the important things that humans need to live? Who had their hand raised? Aria, what is one? Name one of them.
Food to
What did
live.
you say? Food, yes, that's one human right. What else? Right to food. So that's why you see when there are like earthquakes or floods or wars in some areas, you see, other countries send food to those areas because people have less food in when a disaster happens, because they have a right to food. And without food, people would not be able to live. What are other human rights? Yes, Saad. Name one other human right.
The right to shelter.
Yes. What does that mean, shelter? Can you explain that to our younger friends?
Shelter basically means like safe place to live.
Yes, a safe place to live. So, your home is your shelter. But sometimes, some poor people don't have homes, so they live in like tents, or the government has like some arrangement for them so that they can live in like a shelter home where lots of homeless people might live, or poor people might live, or like when there's disasters like floods or earthquakes and stuff, and people's homes break. Then the government provides them with like another place to live for the time being until they can fix their home or whatever, and that can be like a place like a big building where they make everybody live together, or it can be like in tents. So lots of different things. So that's another human right, right to food, right to shelter. What else? I would like somebody else who has not answered. What else is a human right? Does a human just need food and shelter to live? What else do they need? Yes, and I am. Naya, do you have your hand raised? No? Okay. Zed? What else do people need to live?
Hospital. People need
What do people need?
safety.
Safety. Very good answer. So, how do you give people safety? What do you do? What do we do? How can somebody feel safe? What makes someone feel safe?
How you can treat them to feel them safe.
How does someone feel safe, Bete?
Teacher.
What would make you feel safe? You tell me about yourself.
If running and you're not falling down, that's safe.
That's one way, but like, how can someone else help you feel safe? Right? So what are the things that the governments do to make you safe? How about this? Do you like police, right? They're there for people's safety. Do you know what the police does? Yeah.
Bad guys.
Yeah, they make people safe, right? Right? The police are there to help people to feel safe and catch the bad guys, right? Yeah. So we have created police, and there are other ways also people can feel safe. What are some other ways? How do you feel safe inside your school when someone is talking to you? I think it might have been Alia. Alia, you said by being good. Did you say that? And I said at that time I said that's a good answer. But try again. Did you say that by being good?
I said food.
Oh, by food. Did someone say being good? When you talk to your friend, or you talk in your class, what makes you feel safe? Yes, Saad.
The thing that makes me feel safe is that I can have trust on them, and I
You
can
have.
count on them.
I cannot hear you, but what did you say?
The thing that makes me feel safe is that I can trust them.
Yes, so trust. Why do you trust them?
Because they are friends, know that they will not do anything bad to me without.
You trust them because they have been nice to you? You know that it's a place that school is a safe place, right? Yes? Yeah. What else makes you feel safe, Mahi? What makes you feel safe?
When you're with someone,
Okay. How so? Can you explain? Why does being with somebody make you feel safe? Is it because you're not alone?
yes.
Okay, that's a good answer. And I'm going to use all of your examples in a little bit when I try to explain rights again. But I want to right now just get some examples. What else are human rights? So we have gone over a few rights right now. We have gone over the right to shelter, meaning you have a right to have some, something protecting your you and your family, so that like you feel safe. You feel safe inside your house because all the doors and windows can be closed. There's not going to be any snow or rain or anybody else, like wild animals coming inside your home. That makes you feel safe. That is, you have another thing where the right to have food, the right to not be hungry. Now, sometimes these rights don't always work out, meaning like people don't always help each other. And there are lots of other people who still need food, still need shelter, they don't have a home. But that's what Allah has made us all with, that we have the right to have a family. So that's why your family has been created by Allah and you were born in that family. You have a, and Maheen, you just gave a good example that when you are with somebody, you feel safe. That's why Allah has not just created like human beings without families, because being in a family makes us feel safe. When we have our parents or when we grow up, we have our friends and our siblings, our brothers and sisters, it makes us feel safe. Nobody likes being alone. So you have a right to expect that. There are certain rights that Allah has also given you. And even the laws in the country also give you. And those are basic rights. Like you have a right that when you go to school, everybody will speak with you with respect. So that nobody is allowed to, make you feel bad or sad. Like say, for example, we have somebody who is of a different religion in our school. We have to also treat them with respect, right? Or can we be rude or mean to other people who are different from us? Minha, can we be rude or mean to other people who are different from us?
No.
No. Why is that?
Because not everybody is the same.
Yes, and but it just makes sense that that is the case, right? That you should be nice to everybody, right? I mean, so that's why Allah has written that in His book, but also we have rules, right? The police can come and you can get into trouble if you don't, like when you are an adult and you treat people badly, by saying certain words to them when you are an adult. Certain words are bad, like for example, if somebody is not a Muslim and I say bad words to them about their religion, that's not allowed in many countries. So I would get in trouble and the police would come and I would be in trouble. And also, in schools or in colleges, every student has a right to have other students speak with them with respect. What does it mean to be respectful? We learned about that, right? What does it mean? Michelle, when I speak to you with respect, what does that mean?
It means being kind.
It means being kind, yes. What other, as anybody else has another answer? Maheen, did you have a different answer?
No.
No. It has to do with kindness, but it has to do with more than kindness. That whether or not you like the other person or not, because they are, they might like different things than you, they might not be as nice to you. But even then, all of us has a right for the other person to treat us with fairness, treat us with kindness. You cannot just treat each other badly. And that's why, schools have rules so that everybody can expect that. That's why when you go to school, Saad and someone else talked about school, you feel safe because you know inside school, if you have a problem, you can just go to the teacher and get them in trouble. You can just say, this person treated me badly. They called me names or they pushed me. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to push anybody. You're not allowed to hurt anybody, you're not allowed to speak unkindly to anybody. That means you have the right for others to behave properly to you. You have the right to feel safe. You have the right for others to treat you with fairness and kindness, right? So the same thing happens when you grow old. And that's what Allah is talking about huquq al-ibad. Huquq al-ibad literally means the rights of others on us. And Allah in the Quran, as well as our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talked a lot about how you should treat other people. And there's a we talked about all of this in the past classes, that there's a list of of you know the people that the, both the Quran and the Prophet have discussed as far as like how we should treat them. So huquq al-ibad just means what are the rights that other people can expect when they when we talk to them or when we behave towards to them. And then we've been talking about that last week and the week before, the rights of our parents on us. Meaning, what should our parents be able to expect in our behavior towards them? That is their right. They would feel respected. They would feel like, you know, that we are being nice to them and kind to them. That's what we've been learning. And then the other rights that we will start learning today are the rights of Allah. Huquq Allah, right? So these two things basically make up what it means to be a Muslim. I have always told you that this life is a test, and Allah is only going to see how good we are. So, and there are two things that Allah wants: be good to people and worship Him. And so that is basically the two things that I'm talking about. Be good to people is huququl ibad, meaning the rights of others on us. And worship Allah is huquq Allah, meaning what does Allah, what are Allah's rights on us? Because He's our creator, what rights does He have on us? Because He created us. And if you understand this, then we can all sort of understand what it means to be a Muslim. And why it is so important when we are, you know, when we grow up and as adults and even as children, whatever we can do to be as nice and kind as we can. And if we make mistakes, to ask for forgiveness as soon as possible, because that's what Allah wants from us. So let's continue the lesson now, because I know we have been talking about this topic for a long time. And let's see, where were we? I think we were here. So last week, we talked about a lot of different things. The rights of your mom and the rights of your dad. And then we came to the rights of children. I know I just introduced it a little bit. But these are, you know, the rights of children that children have. That they can expect from their parents. And obviously this is not all of the rights. There can be others, but Allah has said last time I told you in the Quran that children are the joy of life. They are the beauty in life, and they have parents have been instructed both in the Hadith and the Quran to, you know, be fair to children, to treat them with kindness. So it's not just the parents that, you know, we have to treat them with kindness, and we can treat them with respect, and we don't scream at them or yell at them, you know, and we do whatever it is that we can to obey them. That would be unfair, because then, you know, what about the rights of children? So Allah has not forgotten about those rights. Allah has actually not forgotten about anybody's rights. And so in about children, they have a right to have their parents, if their parents give birth to them, to have them take care of them, to bring them up. That's what upbringing means, to bring them up. So you cannot have a child and just leave it. The child will die. The child needs food, they need care, they need, you know, the child doesn't know how to speak, how to talk, how to walk, how to do anything, how to clean themselves after they, you know, do poopy. So, like, you know, they don't know how to do anything. So the child has a right that the parents will bring up the child until that age when the child is old enough to take care of themselves. Now, for certain things, that happens in different ages. So when a child is 5 or 6 years old, they can take a bath, they can clean themselves. But as you grow older, you can cross the street by yourself, so you become a little bit more independent. Then when you grow up a little older, you can start to do your homework yourself with some help. Then when you become older, you start driving. You become older, you start going to college, right? And at that time, you are old enough to take care of yourself. But like when a child is very young, they don't know how to take care of themselves. So they have a right for all of the parents who bring children into this world. The children have a right. And Allah will ask the parent. If a parent is bad and doesn't take care of the child, Allah will ask them. Allah will punish them for not taking care of the children. Also, children have a right to education. So, if a parent is able to send a child to school, they should send them to school. Both, school, just like you are going, and also give them Islamic education, because you are all Muslims. And if you grow up without knowing about Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what it means to be a Muslim, learn about all of the different things that make up Islam, and don't even know how to read the Quran. When you meet Allah, and Allah will see that you were never given that education by your parents, and for that Allah will punish our parents if they don't do that. So that's why you are all here in this class. And even though sometimes it feels very boring to be in this class and very boring to get education from a Qari Saab or another teacher that teaches you about Islam, it's because Allah has said that to your parents, that it's their responsibility. Your parents will be asked if they don't teach their child about Islam. So that's why parents do this. Also, they have to teach you what is right, what is wrong. And we've talked a lot about that. Like, how does a child know what is right or wrong? Well, when they're little, parents start teaching them, no, don't do this, no, do this, don't sit here, don't throw this, don't act like this. That's how you learn how to be good or bad. And when you're rude to somebody, parent corrects you, or a teacher corrects you, that's how you start learning about what it means to be good or what it means to be bad. They also have a right to protection, like Saad said, right to shelter, right to feel safe. They also have the right for parents to treat them properly by taking care of them, by cleaning them, because a child cannot clean themselves properly. Cleaning them, loving them. Child needs love and attention, a lot of it. And being fair, if a child makes a mistake, don't just be so upset that you end up hurting them or their feelings. And treat the child also with respect. And also, like when the child is old enough and the parent is older, like they've become an old person, then make sure that your property, like your home, and if you have land or if you have a business, that gets your children get their rightful share from it, because Allah has told in the Quran how you should share your property, and children have a right to parents' property. Property just means like everything that they own, whether it's jewelry, whether it's land, whether it's a business, whether it's car, house, anything. That when their parents get older, like they become old people, then you have to make sure that you have to think about how you're going to share all of this with your children, all of your money and all of your property. So that is the right of children. And also, in the Quran, Allah says that, O Muslims, and those you who believe in Allah and who believe in the Prophet, save yourselves and your families from hell. And what does that mean? That you have to make sure as a parent that you teach your child what is right or wrong. That's the only way to save anybody from hell. Because how would somebody know what to do and what not to do if parents never told them, if teachers never told them? So that's why, it's very simple. Like, in Allah Ta'ala has said to all parents that teach every child about the Quran. teach every child how to read the Quran Sharif and all of the things that you have to do as a Muslim. And it seems like a lot, but really there is not a lot. So like one thing we've already discussed so many times and so much, which is being nice to people. And today I'm going to start on the second thing, which is how to worship Allah. So Allah says also in the Quran that you shall not hurt your children because you are poor. We will provide for your family. We, by we, Allah just means him. Allah will provide for the family for food as and will provide food for the children. And hurting children is a big offense. So that's what Allah has said. So now I want to just ask you. Oops. Like I asked other kids, how can parents be good to children? How do you like how do you like your parents to be good to you? What should they do? How can parents be good to children? Remember how we talked about how can we be good to our parents? And we say we clean our homes, we can clean our rooms, we can make our beds, we can give our parents hugs. But how can parents be good to children? What makes a child feel good? What makes you feel good? Think about yourself. What is it your parents do that makes you feel good?
What do you say?
Think about it yourself. It's an answer about yourself, right? So don't ask mama's help. What makes you feel good? Mina, can we start with you? What makes you feel good about what your parents do? What makes you feel safe? What makes you feel good?
Whenever they hug me.
Yes. Okay. Michelle, everybody has to come up with an answer. And you cannot say the same thing.
Kind.
Did it?
They be kind.
Kind. They're kind to you. Okay. Maheen? What makes you feel good when your parents do it?
Feed me something.
They feed you something. Okay, make food. All right, Zed, I see your hand up.
They give you hugs.
They give you hugs, Bitte. Yes, sir, that's right. But I said that you cannot say that, so it has to be something different. How do parents make kids feel good? What can they do?
Give kisses.
Kisses, okay. That works. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Inaya and Saad.
They can make sure that their kids are feeling safe and they are not having any trouble like at school or in the family.
Yes.
And
They give you what, Bitte?
They give us treats.
Treats, okay. It's kind of like they make us food. Can you think of something else? Saad, by the way, that was a good answer. They make us feel safe. They solve our problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Iman. While Inaya is thinking.
They help you do your homework.
Yes, they help us do our homework and everything else. They help us, like if we don't know how to take a bath or clean our hair properly, who still gets helps in taking a bath? In washing your hair? Can everybody wash their hair by themselves? No? Who still gets help from mom? Yeah, or dad? Yes, see? So they help you stay clean, right? Yes. Who gets help in cutting your nails? Yeah, exactly. So, see, okay, what else? Let me see. And who helps, how many parents spend time with you? By playing games, taking you to the park, taking you to the movies? Yeah? Do your parents spend time with you? Yes? And who said earlier? I think Michelle said earlier, or I don't remember who said it earlier. One, maybe it was Maheen, that they, I feel safe when I'm with someone, right? So our parents stay with us when we are feeling afraid, right? Have you ever seen something scary or like had a nightmare or something? Yeah, or seen a scary movie and your parents sleep with you in your bed or make you go sleep in their bed and make you feel safe, hug you. So they parents do a lot of things. And so that's what parents have to do. These are very good things that they do, but the biggest things that they do are they make us help, they make us feel safe. Because of them, we don't feel afraid in the house by ourselves in our room, right? Because we know in the other room, mama and daddy are there. So we don't feel afraid. And whenever we are feeling afraid, we can just go and maybe ask our parents to sleep with us, or maybe we can share their bed, or maybe mom or dad might come and sleep with you. So they also spend time with you playing games. How many of you have had parents play games with you? Yes. So see, they are adults, but they spend their time playing games with you, and that makes us feel happy. So they make us feel happy in many different ways, lots of different ways. They make us feel happy. They might cook for us, our favorite thing, and that makes us feel happy. They might play games with us. That makes us feel happy. They might buy us something new. That makes us feel happy. They may help us do a very difficult homework that we are trying to figure out how to do and we are struggling, and then they help us. Or they help us with our project by making some, like we have to, in school, we have to draw something or make something, and our parents help us do that, right? So many things your parents do, and you have a right for your parents to do all of that and more to you. And so that you feel safe and you can grow up feeling safe and happy. And then you can, when you grow up and you become an adult, only then, you know, when you leave the house, then you have learned all of the things from your parents on what it means to be a nice person and be caring. Because your parents have taken care of you all the time, right? So you already know. Zed, are you going to say something? Is your hand raised? No? Okay. Okay, let's talk about Huquq Allah. So give me 1 second. Can you see this? Where it says Huquq Allah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That was a very bored yes. So everybody understands what Huquq al-Ibad or the rights of others are? Do our neighbors have rights?
Yeah.
Do the person like... in our family, like our grandparents have rights?
Yeah.
Yes. Does a person, a stranger that we meet, do they have any rights? Yes. At least, even if we don't know them, they have a right to be treated with respect and kindness, right? So if you, like when we see a poor person and somebody, we see somebody mistreating them, like saying bad things to them, and speaking to them with disrespect, that's not treating them nicely. So even if we are not able to sometimes help people, we should always, always speak to them kindly. All right, let's talk about Huquq Allah. This is the right that Allah has on us. Who is Allah, Saad? Yes, Maheen.
Allah is the creator of everything.
Yes. Maheen, did you have something to say?
I forgot.
That's okay. Okay. We know that Allah created us, right? Everybody? Right? Allah
Yes,
created
yeah.
us. Yeah. Allah created us and caused us to be in our mom's tummies and to be born in the family that we were born in. So all of this was because Allah wanted it to happen that way. He could have easily made you all born in somebody else's family, but he wanted that special family of yours to be your family. That's why he made it so that you were born in your family with this special mom and special dad. Everybody's mom and dad are special. So Allah, when we talk about rights of Allah, again, I want to remind you that this life is a test, right? Everybody remembers that? This life is a test. And how will you be successful in this test? Misha? What do you need to do to be successful in this test, Misha?
You have to be kind.
Mm-hmm. And what's the second thing? What do you have to do for Allah? Kindness is for people. What do you have to do for
you
Allah?
Have to pray.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, Minha, did you want to add something else?
And worship him.
Yes, you have to pray and worship him. Yes, Saad or Inaya? Achha. Okay, so the way, so we are going to talk about the way we worship Allah. Basically, that's Allah's rights on us. Allah doesn't want anything else from us. All he wants is to have us pray to him. So that would be the second thing that we need to do as Muslims. To make sure that we succeed in this life's test. And we always live with him in Jannat forever and ever. So, well, these are all of our relationships. So it's all about relationships in Islam. Relationship with Allah or relationship with everybody else. That's what Islam basically is. How to be good in your relationships. So we have a relationship with Allah. We have a relationship with our parents, we have a relationship with our friends, we have a relationship with our bigger family, our grandparents, aunts, cousins, etc. All of those make up our, and we have relationships at school with our teachers, with our neighbors, everybody else that comes in, that is, you know, beyond our family, all the other people. And then we have a relationship with Allah. For the relationship with Allah, we have to do a few things that makes Allah happy. We have to pray. So that's why Muslims pray 5 times a day. We get up in the morning and pray, and then we pray in the afternoon, and then we pray 2 times by the time it's evening, and then 1 time at night. Does anyone remember the names of the prayers or the times, timings? What are they called? One by one. Yes, Saad. Name one.
Fajr.
Fajr. Fajr, yes. Does anyone else know? Yes, Maheen?
Zohar.
Zohar, yes. And Minha?
Isha.
Isha is the last prayer of the day. Yes, Iman?
Maghrib.
Maghrib, yes. That is the evening prayer. One prayer is missing. Anyone else? Who will, okay, who raised the hand? I think Michelle did. Michelle raised the hand first. Go ahead, Michelle. Which one is missing?
Asr.
Asr, absolutely correct. So we have Fajr, we have Zohar, excuse me, Zohar, we have Asr, that's the third prayer of the day. And we have Maghrib, which is the fourth prayer of the day and happens in the evening. And then we have the night prayer, which is called Isha. So when you pray, how do you prepare for prayer? What do you do? Yes, Mina.
You do wudu.
You do wudu. But even before wudu, what needs to happen? How should your body be? Can you do wudu on a dirty body? Anyone? It doesn't have to be Minha. Saad, can you do wudu on a dirty body? If you're soaking in sweat or something, or some keechad has come on your, or like some bad stuff has come on your body, what do you need to do to clean yourself? Is wudu okay? Yes, Michelle.
You have to clean yourself.
How do you clean yourself?
You do wudu.
Mm-hmm. But that's what we're saying, that if you're dirty and your clothes are dirty, you have to do something else before wudu. What is that? How do we normally clean our bodies? When our hair gets dirty and slimy or grimy, and how do we take it? Yes, Michelle.
We get a bath.
Absolutely. So first thing we have to do before we pray is to know if our body is clean. And you don't have to pray for every 5 times a day. You don't even have to, I'm sorry, you don't have to take a bath every 5 times that you pray. You also don't have to take a bath every day if you don't feel like it. I mean, it's obviously better if you take a bath every day and you clean yourself. But sometimes in very cold weather, it's not possible. Or in some day, sometimes, like in some parts of the world, you don't have water. So you cannot take a bath every day. But you should still know that your body is clean or not. One way, if it's just a little bit of like dirt on your clothes, you can just change your clothes. And you can tell if your body is clean or not. But if there's some, if you went to the bathroom, for example, and you didn't clean yourself well with water, then your body might be dirty. Then you might need to take a bath. So first we have to do is take a bath and be fresh. And then every time we need to pray, we have to do wudu, right? We have to make sure. Can we pray in dirty clothes?
No, we have to pray in clean clothes.
Yes. What else do we need for prayers?
We need a clean place to pray.
We need a clean place to pray, yes. What else? What else is needed for prayer? When your parents pray, what do they use? Yeah? Yes, Iman.
Namaz.
Janamaz? Yes. Okay, Minha, very good answer. What do they, what else do parents? We need a scarf. If we are a girl, we need a scarf. Absolutely. We need a scarf. And then what about our clothes? Can we just not have a shirt, and like boys cannot have a shirt and just pray? Without a shirt? Or without pants?
No, we need it.
Right? So there are certain rules of praying also, that you have to have modest clothing, meaning you have to have decent clothes. Yeah, that covers your body. For boys, it's different, and for girls, it's also different. And, for boys, you have to wear, shorts that goes up till your knees, at least. And for girls, you have to have pajamas that go up to your ankle, and you have to have a scarf. So that's basically our preparation for praying. We have to shower every day if we can, or at least every other day, and make sure our body's clean. But especially we shower on Jummah. You know what Jummah is? I know the people in Pakistan know what Jummah is, but does everybody else who lives in the US, do they know what Jummah is? Yes, Maheen, what is Jummah?
It's a name of the days of the week.
Absolutely correct. Very good. And what happens on Jummah that's special for Muslims?
We have to go to the masjid.
Yes. We have to go to the masjid whenever we can, especially boys, but especially on Jummah, on Fridays, which is Jummah. We have Allah, especially for the Zuhr prayers, the afternoon prayer. We all Muslims tend to go to the masjid to make Jummah prayers, to do Jummah prayers. And they are special prayers because they, you know, Jummah prayers are special, like, you know, in Christian faith, they have like certain days of the week that are special, like Sunday is more special to Christians. Jummah is more special, or Friday is more special for Muslims. And that's because of the Friday prayer, that it's expected that even anyone that doesn't come to the masjid on regular days will make an effort to go to the masjid on Jummah. And of course, we talked about clothes have to be clean. You have to do wazoo. You need a janamaz or musalla. And if you don't have that, that's fine. You just need a clean place to pray. Like on the side of the road, you might not have anything to pray with, but you can still pray in a clean, dry place. You need the hijab or the scarf or a dupatta. And then you need to wear certain clothing. You cannot pray in shorts that are above your knees, like for men, or you know, you can't pray in clothes that, like, missing clothes, like only with like a pair of pants and no shirt. You can pray extra times too, more than these five times. And some people do pray that. And our Prophet Muhammad used to pray a sixth prayer, that he would, after the last prayer of the day, he would go to sleep for a few hours, then wake up and pray tahajjud, which was a special sixth prayer of the day. It's not required. So only five prayers are required by Muslims. Allah will ask you and take you know, account for whether you, or how many prayers you have prayed as an adult, or at least since when you should start praying as an older child as well. So Allah will count the number of prayers that has been missed by you. And, you know, we might get asked about those and get punished for that even. But the sixth prayer of the day was something special to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some people still do it because they feel that they should behave like Prophet Muhammad as much as they can, and make sure that they worship in the same way that Prophet Muhammad did. And so some people will do the tahajjud prayer, but it's not required. If you don't do it, then Allah is not going to, like, ask you why you didn't pray. And of course, we should make dua or do dua after you pray. After every namaz, you should pray for your family. You should pray for whatever it is that you want Allah to forgive and thank. And then we also read the Quran. So that's another form of praying to Allah. What about tasbih? Who knows what that is? Who doesn't know what tasbih is? Has everyone seen a tasbih? Have you seen prayer beads in your house? It's usually kept near the Quran Sharif. Like this beads. It looks like kind of a necklace, but it's kept near the Quran. Have you seen that in your house? That is called a tasbih. And it's got like 99 beads in it, because that's how many times you say a prayer. And you, every time you, like say, for example, you want to say the kalma, the first kalma, you count the number of times that you pray, recite the kalma, and you can go around the necklace and count 99 times and say it 99 times. If you want to go around again, you can say it again and again. So that's what the prayer beads are for. Yes, Minna?
The last time I counted the, like,
necklace. Sorry, Minna? What did
the
you
last
say?
The last time I counted how much beads were on the, like, thingy my grandma has, because I was just wondering. I think it was like 105.
And so 100, so there are 99 beads, and then there's this long one, right? That makes 100. Yes, so you'll see like at the end of the necklace, there's like this big one, or sometimes they're just beads. But most of the time you'll have like 99 beads, and then there's this long stick-like kind of bead. So that's because we go around this tasbih or this prayer beads and pray different things after we have read the namaz. When we're praying, some people like to do that. And so that's why most Muslims will have those in their house. If you don't know what that looks like, I would ask you to, after we get done today, go ask your mom to show you, a mom or dad, what that is. And then you can see, and maybe you can count the beads and see how many beads your tasbih has. Okay? I'll stop here because it's time to end. Inshallah, next week we will continue with Huquq Allah and learn about other rights that Allah has on us. Okay? Any questions so far? No? Okay. All right. Allah Hafiz, bacho. Allah Hafiz.
Allah Hafiz.
Allah Hafiz.